Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I will lay on your hearts today comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30 as follows. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, have you ever heard the expression, "It all comes out in the wash"? Well, I remember working at a restaurant in my youth and dropping a platter and my boss telling me, "Oh, that's a $5 platter." And he said, and I felt awful. And I think he saw my downcast look, but he said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Don't let it happen again. After all, it all comes out in the wash." Apparently there's breakage figured into the overhead of a restaurant. It all comes out in the wash. All the bad stains, all the dirty stuff ends up coming out, and it all evens out. Today, for our after Thanksgiving service, we also get a view of how things are going to turn out on Judgment Day. From this text, we have much to be thankful for. And I'm sure that in the past week you've thought yourself, especially on Thanksgiving Day, of the many blessings that our good and gracious Father in heaven has showered down upon you, your families. Above all, most important blessing is, of course, the gospel of your Savior Jesus Christ, the gift of God's own Son to take care of the sin problem that each of us has. What a great blessing that is. Just like the last line of our New Testament reading, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift," and that is the forgiveness of sins that is found in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Here in our text for today, we have a parable from our Savior Jesus Christ. And as you know, a parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. As is our custom here at St. John's, we set up a table that shows some of the fruits of the land, also has the Word of God in it. The most important thing, of course, is the gift that God has given us, the message of his Son. But we also remember the many blessed gifts that the Lord gives us. Traditionally, in our land, we remember these things around harvest time. Our nation has set aside the day of Thanksgiving, that third Sunday, or third Thursday in November, as a day to pause and give thanks. As God's children, we know to whom the thanks is really due, to our great God. That's why we go through all these things, to remind us of the good things that God has given us. In our text for today, Jesus gives us this earthly story of a planting that goes on and of a harvest. And it reminds us, as God's children, that it's all going to come out, not in the wash, but in the harvest. It all comes out in the harvest. Meanwhile, you and I can be patient as the plants grow together, the tares and the wheat, believers and unbelievers. And we'll get to that in a minute. We can observe the ways of the wise farmer, which the workers did. They did what the farmer told them to do. You and I, too, can follow God's word and receive instruction from him. And we can rejoice at the harvest of the wheat that God promises will happen on the last day. It all comes out in the harvest. What a great text for a Thanksgiving theme, a harvest festival theme. Everything will be fine is what the message is. We have, and we do, get all caught up in some of the things that go on in our everyday lives. If you listen too closely to the news and all the terrible things that happen, you might be tempted to begin to think that maybe God doesn't have control of everything, or maybe he isn't watching over us, or maybe there's, you know, perhaps there's a terrible tragedy going on in your life that causes you to question God and his promise that everything will work out for your good. Well, in this parable, this earthly story, we have the master who sowed a man who sowed the good seed, and that is, of course, in the heavenly meaning behind this earthly story, that's Jesus. The good seed, that's believers, you and me. What about the tares? Well, those are unbelievers. Who's the enemy who sowed these tares? Tares are weeds that grow among the wheat. Who's the enemy? He is, of course, the devil. You and I, here in this world, are faced with temptations every day to sin, to go astray from God's word. And the unbelieving world around us would like nothing better for you than to do just that, to depart from your faith, to follow them in the ways that they have been locked into, the ways of sin and unbelief. At times we can be overly vexed, or we can become weary of trying to fight the good fight of faith, of always constantly realizing that despite our best efforts, we fail God's commands and we don't do what we're supposed to do. Here in our text, we find out that we are to be patient as all the plants grow together. You know, you don't come to church here at St. John's expecting everyone to be perfect, holy little saints, and you won't have any problem with them. If someone comes to our congregation and expects everyone to be perfect, they better look around again. I've said it before and I'll say it again, we are like a hospital. We're all ill and we all need that healing hand of our Savior Jesus to remind us again of the gospel message. We're sick people who are in need of a Savior. The Savior comes and healing is granted through the message preached through that powerful Word of God, which in itself has the power to convince us that God is who he said he is, did what he said he accomplished through his Son Jesus on the cross, and that forgiveness is now yours and mine. The Word works that, and by faith the Holy Spirit convinces us that these things are true, despite everything that goes on around us. So what we really need today, on the day that we look back and thank God for all the good things he's given us, we realize that when this day's over, we're going to be facing tomorrow. There's going to be all kinds of other problems, and there's going to be trials. And what we need to ask God for today, perhaps, is patience. Patience that while all of this is going on, while it doesn't seem that God's in control and that the unbelieving world always gets the upper hand, God promises differently. See, Jesus wants us to realize that patience is required for the grain, for you and I, the believer, to ripen completely. And God grants that to us, doesn't he? He grants us the patience as we study his word, as that word enriches our hearts and therefore our lives. The word accomplishes what it pleases in us. God does that to us. He's the one who gave us the word, the Holy Spirit inspired men to write down that word for us. We have it today, the 66 books of what we refer to as the Bible. We open that Bible and God's message is always new and always fresh for us, because it's the power of God unto salvation to us who are being saved. So God grants us patience. It is God who does this for us. He sowed the seed in your heart, perhaps at your baptism, gave you faith. And that faith then continues to hang on to his words and promises, like you're getting watered all along and your faith is kept strong in him. He does the fertilizing. He continues to use that word to shore us up, to give us the nutrients we need to face every situation, as he has promised. We get it all through the gospel message. As we do that, as we get fed, as God's children, as we get fed and our faith is bolstered up and we realize, wow, these words are true, our hope in God and all his promises is cemented so that it's rock solid and strong, we get to look at all those other people around us who don't yet have that same faith that clings to God's word and promises. They look at other things for their salvation, perhaps themselves, perhaps some false god. They are the tares, right? The unbelievers. But God doesn't want us to go root them up. God doesn't want us to tell them that they're going to hell and there's nothing they can do about it. God wants us to be patient with them. Now, we're not condoning sin here. Not at all. We are patient with unbelievers. We're patient with the weeds, put it that way. After all, today's weed may be tomorrow's fruitful grain. Isn't it true? That's because God can change the heart of any person. God can, through his powerful word that you and I might be privileged to lay down in front of someone, change their lives. Turn them from an unbeliever, from a weed, into a believer. A fruitful stalk of grain. So be patient as these plants grow together. Be patient as we go through the trials and tribulations of this life. Because it all comes out in the harvest. Let's follow the wise ways of the farmer. Let's take his advice. The servants of the farmer in our earthly story, they come to him and ask him, should we do this? And the farmer says, no, let them grow together. And it's not like they decided to go against his word and go out and do differently. No, they followed his word. Let's you and I do the same thing. Let's realize that saving, precious word of God is our greatest treasure. And following that word will always bring about blessings for us, the eternal blessings which God has intended and planned out for each one of us since before time began. That way we will not be damaging any of the other good plants around us. We won't, you know, instead of having our own ideas about how to save people or how to spread God's word, we follow the word itself. And that causes us then to focus on what really is our main mission, and that is to spread the gospel. The main mission in our text, as you read it, what's the earthly story? It's to have a good harvest, right? A great harvest of wheat. And so that's our concern too. Jesus looked out upon the a crowd of people that had been gathered about him one day, and he said, he realized that there were so many people out there that needed to hear the gospel. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You and I have been given faith in him as our Savior from all our sins. Now we are able to go out and tell others. There are so many people out there who need that same saving message that you have been given. The forgiveness of sins found in Jesus Christ. They just don't believe it. Perhaps no one's ever laid the word out in front of them so that the Holy Spirit could work through that word into their hearts, give them saving faith. It works. It works like nothing else. It's the only thing that saves, that powerful word of God. So let's follow God's word. Let's do that. Let's observe the wise ways of the farmers. We'll see how it's all going to come out in the harvest. When that harvest happens, when the last day comes, we will rejoice at all of the great things God's word has done in our lives, in the lives of people around us. There won't be a time where we'll say, oh, maybe you could have tried a little bit harder with this group of people or that person. We'll see in the day of harvest that those who reject their Savior Jesus Christ, those who are the weeds, the tares, will receive what the Bible says that they will receive, and that is the fire. They will be burned. Hell itself, which was created for the devil and his wicked angels, will also be used as the final destination for all those who reject Christ. For those who do not have faith in Jesus. That's where they end up. Not because their sins haven't been paid for. We learned that in Bible class today, right? Everybody's sins have been paid for in full. The only reason anyone ever goes to hell is because they don't believe it. What a tragedy for them. But on the last day, it'll all come out in the harvest. And we will rejoice at the harvest of the wheat. All will be made right when the harvest comes. Jesus said, "Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat. Gather the wheat into my barn." What lies ahead of you as a child of God, as someone who has faith in Jesus Christ, is the gathering together of you and all believers everywhere into the barn, into the final destination. Barn is kind of that's the earthly story. The heavenly meaning is the eternal crown of righteousness, heaven itself, those mansions which Jesus has prepared for you from the foundations of the earth. That's what lies ahead. That's what gives us cause for rejoicing. As we consider all the earthly things that God gives us, we are so thankful. We know He's got a hand in everything in our life, in the earthly things. We know and we see as we go through our lives how God works everything in our life for our spiritual good, just as He promised. Romans 8:28. And we are convinced then, or our faith believes with all certainty, that there is a place reserved in heaven for me, for you, because God's word says it. There will be a final justice carried out where those who have rejected God's word will go to hell, and those whom God has saved through faith in Jesus Christ, His Son, you and I, will be headed towards heaven. In fact, Jesus says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, to you, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." Reason for rejoicing. Sometimes what we see in life doesn't mirror the promises that God's word tells us about. Sometimes. All the time. If we would go by what we physically see, we would be lost. We would not trust in God's promises. It doesn't seem to be working out that way. So you see, the malady here is when we look at the small picture of life itself and how life ends up. I mean, you're born, you struggle through this life, you catch some terrible disease, or cancer takes you at the end. It all looks awful. Oh, sure, there's some pleasant things in between. But finally, in the end, death. It's only the big picture. It's only keeping our eyes on the prize at the horizon that is promised us through the power of God's word that we realize that it is all going to be okay. It's all going to come out in the harvest. That despite the trials and tribulations of this life, all we have to do is watch plants grow, watch things progress in this world through the power of God's word. Watch how He does things. Follow the Master's word. Follow His advice of the wise farmer. And then rejoice at the harvest of the wheat. That's the big picture. Jesus then said in Matthew 13:43, "Then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." We are in that kingdom today. We are shining forth, even today, as we praise God and thank Him for all He has done for us, as we look forward with faith, with certainty, and Christian hope to what lies ahead. It's all going to come out in the harvest. And that's God's promise to us today and always. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.